You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com. I need some touching.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in a tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease. So I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve.
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve. My little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner, keeps the alternative medicine assholes at bay. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy, or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. You can buy a Bristol stool scale mug. You can rate your stools while you're sitting on the pod in the morning. It's awesome. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. Very good. Well, please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all your Amazon needs. You just go there and you can click right through to Amazon, or you can scroll down and see all the different products that we've talked about on the show, including, iontophoresis devices for if you've got sweaty hands and pits and feet. There's also adult toys. And you know what I mean, boys. Oh, God, I hate those commercials. And probiotics and stuff like that. So check that out, the ones that we recommend. Also, don't forget tweakedaudio.com. Offer code FLUID for 33% off the best earbuds on the market for the price. And the best customer service, bar none, anywhere. They're fantastic. Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. I'm still at my ideal body weight. And if you go to my Reddit subreddit, it's... Reddit.com/r/drsteve. There's a testimonial from somebody there that dropped their diabetic hemoglobin A1C from like 11 down to 6, which is basically normal, using Noom. And that's what I use to drop my weight. And I can confirm Dr. Steve's rule of you drop 35 pounds, you gain an inch of meaty penile membership. I can confirm that. And I'll be willing to prove that to anybody who's interested. Go to Noom. I don't know how I would do that, but go to noom.drsteve.com. That's Noom, noom.drsteve.com. Get 2 free weeks and 20% off. It's cheaper. Well, I don't want to say cheaper. Less expensive than Weight Watchers. You only have to do it for 3 months. You can do it longer if you want to. I chose to do it for 9 months, and I may even get a year in. Just to keep my toe in it and stay sane. But anyway, check it out, noom.drsteve.com. And then get $40 off Freshly. They deliver fresh prepared meals that make eating right super easy. You can use my link to get 6 dinners for $39 for 2 weeks. That's $20 off each week. And you can just quit if you don't like it. Give it a try. Let me know what you think. They're all gluten-free. You can sort it by calories. You can, if you don't eat pork, you can just eliminate those. It's really easy. They're coming out with new stuff all the time. It's not for everybody. I'm just lazy. And so 3 days a week, I don't have to cook. So freshly.drsteve.com. And then if you're into sports betting, I just won a couple bucks on the All-Star game. Go to bet.drsteve.com. I don't know if you get anything for that, but BetDSI. So it'll just take you there. And premium.drsteve.com, you can get all the archives of this stuff. And if really, if you want all the archives for $30, you can go to drsteve.com and look around. And there's a link where you can order for $30 a thumb drive. It's a 32 gig thumb drive with every show up to the point where you ordered it. So all the Riotcast shows. Anyway, and okay, well, we appreciate you. Let's see what we've got today. Did we do the absurd story about smartphones causing kids to sprout horns? We did, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so I'm going to delete. That was,
we did it on the...
Shit, you bastard. I just deleted it.
Oh, yeah, we did it.
Okay. Just tell me we did it.
We did.
All right. What's this one here? We did the one on HPV vaccination and how it is already showing a decrease in changes associated with cancer in women, like a huge percentage.
That's wild.
It's wild. Yeah. And
it's wonderful.
Now, remember, cervical cancer takes decades to really, you know, you see a abnormality on your pap smear and you ignore it, it may take 10 years before it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And it can be shorter for some, longer for others. But so we need a maybe another decade. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to see on a population level, has this vaccine decreased the number of terminally ill cervical cancer patients? And if the answer is yes, that's the final nail in the coffin of the argument against this vaccine. Right now, where there's every indication that it is going to prevent all kinds of cases of cervical cancer in women who would have died otherwise, and it's not just cervical cancer.
Right.
Penile cancer.
Right.
Anal cancer. You don't want anal cancer. Can you imagine?
No.
You don't want it.
No.
So anything we can do to avoid, I'll do it just to avoid the old anal cancer.
Exactly, yes.
Head and neck cancer.
Yes.
Sucks.
Terrible. They all suck.
It all sucks, yeah.
They all suck.
So prevention is key. We've got some new treatments coming. But wouldn't it be awesome if we could just vaccinate ourselves against all different kinds of cancer?
You really would.
And it is well known that there are strains of human papillomavirus that cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're asking you to get your kids vaccinated at age 12, jackass assholes, we're not doing that to encourage them to have sex.
Right.
Which is the argument that I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're trying to turn our daughters into whores. No, shut up. No. We're trying to catch them before they get exposed.
Right.
We're assuming that your kid is not having sex at 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, in some of... Well, anyway.
Yeah. I know what you mean, but yes.
So we're making that assumption, so that's why we're saying let's catch them when they're 12.
Yep.
But... You can, my position on this right now, and the CDC is agreeing with part of my position, is get it done anytime. If you're sexually active,
yes.
There's the likelihood that you've been exposed to all of the strains of HPV that vaccine protects against is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
So it may help even if you've already been exposed to one of them. And certainly if you've already been exposed to... HPV in general, the vast majority of HPV viruses are not a problem. So even if you know you have that, I'd still get the damn vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
If I was on the market, mm-hmm. I'd get it.
I'm pretty sure if yours hasn't flared up yet, you're probably okay.
Well, I can still get head and neck cancer.
No, I know.
I'm not worried about getting genital warts at this point, but, if I was on the market, I would get it.
Yeah.
Get the damn vaccine. I don't care how old you are. Now, you may have to pay for it if it's not indicated. So if you're above a certain age, you may just have to pay the full price if you want it.
Right. And I don't think it's profoundly expensive, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
Let's ask Alexa. Alexa, how much is the HPV vaccine?
The top search result for HPV vaccine is Shattered Dreams. The HPV vaccine exposed. It's $25.99.
Alexis,
there you go. The book is $25.99.
Yeah, it's one of those. One of those books.
One of those books.
This vaccine also, if you go to the CDC website, unless you feel that the CDC is somehow in on this, shows that this vaccine is remarkably safe.
Well, here we go.
What'd you find out?
130 to 170.
Oh, that's not bad. To not get cancer of that type?
Let's see. Yep.
Yeah, I'll pay for that.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. For myself. But you have to have three shots. So it's a total of between $300 and $600.
Okay.
Total.
Okay,
still,
under a grand.
That's not bad.
To not get penile cancer would be nice.
Not bad.
Yeah, the anal cancer, the idea of that bothers me more than the penile cancer.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on
that. It's going to hurt like hell.
Well, you know, you're sitting
on
your ass all the time.
You don't sit on your dick all day.
No.
So.
Hey,
don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net or simplyherballs.net if you don't know how to spell. And listen to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, we're everywhere. All right. I have a story. I got into it with a bunch of people on Twitter recently about the Bluebell ice cream licking thing. And I tweeted out Breyers ice cream and it has a plastic seal around the lid. And I remember when the Tylenol thing happened. People don't remember over-the-counter medications didn't have safety seals on them back in the day.
Right. When was that, Dr. Steve?
I don't know. You could look it up. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, late 70s, maybe.
And what happened was somebody had put, I think it was cyanide. I can't remember. Dr. Scott's going to look it up while we're doing this. And adulterated Tylenol capsules back in the bottle and then stuck it back on the shelf. This person took one and they died. Then when the person died, they were all mourning, you know, at the wake, and they passed out the bottle of Tylenol because somebody had a headache. They took it, and they died, too, at this person's wake, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
And as I said, Dr. Scott, look, this was a long time ago. So
1982, Dr. Steve.
82.
1982, okay. That's correct.
So that one case led people on this crazy investigation trying to figure out how this happened, but the end game was that all over-the-counter medications needed to be have safety seals on them. And it's so when I saw this video, the first thing I said is, because all the ice cream I've ever bought has a safety seal on it. It's either circumferentially around the lid or it's over the ice cream itself. So I incorrectly tweeted out, this video's got to be fake. Because all ice cream has a safety seal on it. And people tweet me back, oh, no, you know, this one, this kind doesn't, this kind doesn't. And, of course, I tweeted out a picture of the Breyers ice cream with the safety seal on. I said, real ice cream has a safety seal, at least real ice cream I'm going to buy.
No,
and then people zoomed in and it said, you know, frozen dairy dessert is not even ice cream. I'm like, okay. So I got all these tweets back, that's not even ice cream. And it's like, oh, okay, not the point. Bad example.
Right.
I'll cop that. It was a bad example, but that's not the point. I think that this stuff should be safety sealed. Then people tweeted back to me pictures of fruits and vegetables on the shelf that are obviously just loose.
Sure.
So people could pick those up and lick them. But presumably you wash those. It's hard to wash your ice cream.
Yes.
So things that are hard to wash, I think, mm-hmm. should be safety sealed. Now, Bluebell, and I'm not just singling them out, they're not the only ones, say that what they do is they flip the thing upside down and freeze it so that it's the ice cream freezes to the lid.
Okay.
So when you take it off, it's obvious if somebody messed around with it. I guess that makes sense if you get it home while it's still totally frozen, but if it sits in the back of your car on a 20-minute drive,
yeah.
You might not be able to tell. That's my position. So I'm not look, here's just how much does it cost to put a circumferential seal around the outside?
Because about a penny or two.
You can tell if that's been messed with.
Yeah.
That's even better than the thing that goes over the ice cream because people were correctly pointing out that you could take the lid off, inject something into it, you'd never notice. If they used a 30-gauge needle, which is about the size of a hair, you'd never notice that. Or they could peel it up, lick it, and put it back down, and you'd never notice it.
Yep.
So I'm all for the circumferential safety seal, or just seal the whole damn thing in cellophane.
Yes.
And now, what does it really matter? So I have a friend of the show, Shatai, who is the owner of Hyperphysics with her husband, Richard David Smith, I think it's RDS. So he's the guy that is now a huge proponent of influenza vaccine because he almost died because he didn't get influenza vaccine. And now he's our buddy on that. I can just sick people on him. And I just say, you know, when they start at me with the influenza vaccine, I just say, bring this up to RDS, whatever his screen name is, or Hyperphysics. But anyway, she tweeted back to me, oh, would it be so because they said, you know, how bad is this? I said, it's just gross. And she tweeted back to me, would it be so gross if it was Kate Upton that did it?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, yeah, I don't know if implying that, you know, the teenager wasn't hot enough or some racial thing or something like that. And it's like, no, it's gross. And it wouldn't matter if Kate Upton did it. And I said, here's how I know. Take a spoon, hold it at right around chin level, and now drool into it your own saliva until you fill up the spoon. Now that you've done that, put that spoon in your mouth and drink it. And everybody that I know that I said that to goes, I'm not doing that. It's disgusting. Okay, so it's disgusting because it's saliva that's outside the body that's on your food, and you're being asked to just ignore that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So the health risks to this. Now, I was reading a thing about the health risks. There really isn't a whole lot. Hepatitis A, I've heard hepatitis A bandied about. That's really fecal oral. You'd have to shit in the ice cream to get...
at least on your hand. And
your hand, right. A shit on your hand and then smear it on there. So really your mouth is probably safer in that regard. And then HIV, no one's ever gotten HIV by kissing somebody. So you're not going to get it from them licking your ice cream.
Right.
So I think the risks of disease are pretty low. It's just gross and it's an invasion. So now there's this, I don't know, there's this thing called Food Safety News. I don't know if this is right wing, left wing. I don't know if they have a political thing, but they did point out something interesting. And I'm, again, not just singling out Bluebell ice cream, but their headline was 20 years for licking ice cream, 0 years for 10 listeria illnesses with 3 deaths. So, what they were talking about was at one point, Bluebell, and they're not the only ice cream manufacturer where this has happened, had in 2015, 10 people were infected with several strains of listeria, reported from 4 states. Those states and victim numbers are Arizona with 1 patient, Kansas with 5, Oklahoma with 1, and Texas with 3. And the illnesses went from January 2010 through January 2015. And they were identified through retrospective review of the CDC's PulseNet database for DNA fingerprints matching isolates collected from samples of this ice cream manufacturer. And all 10 of the outbreak patients were so sick they were admitted to hospitals.
Oh, gosh.
So the inspector's observations reported on 3 key 483s, which are inspection reports from 3 different facilities, which showed, you know, deficits in manufacturing and packaging foods under conditions and control necessary to minimize potential for growth of microorganism contamination. There was a bunch of different things that they were cited on at different locations. So, you know, they're talking about prosecuting this girl. Well, she's a minor, so she's not going to get a 20-year sentence, but food safety attorneys say food tampering carries a possible 20-year sentence. So anyway, you know, so there needs, there's not real justice there, but don't tamper with our food either. People are are sensitive about that. I'm pretty laissez-faire when it comes to germs and stuff, although some of our friends will say that I'm not. It's just I don't eat leftovers usually. Mm. And people say, well, you're a germ freak. You want to eat leftovers. No, it's because I'm rich. I don't have to eat leftovers.
I'll buy next stuff.
Oh, now.
Don't hate. Hey, did it give any indication why she did that?
I was just goofing around for Instagram. Yeah.
Oh, for God's
You just sake. Pull it off, and they were doing it for Instagram. She was laughing about it and sake. Stuff. It, you know,
do
we've all done.
Else. It doesn't affect other people.
Well,
know.
We've all done idiotic things. How about walking through neighborhoods just taking old school windshield wipers? You can't do it with the ones now, but the ones that were just wiring going so that they're pointing up, so if you knew it was raining the next day, they would just only be able to see through. Now it's funny, but it's shitty, and it's things kids do.
Yes.
And you know, just, you know, putting firecrackers in mailboxes or throwing how about this, going down, you know, getting on the back of a pickup truck in, oh, I don't know, 1972, and driving real fast through rural Baton Rouge neighborhoods, throwing bricks at mailboxes. And then one, because you want to be cool to the football guy that all of a sudden for no reason is hanging around with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he throws one brick, it hits a stop sign and bounces back and hits him in the chest, and you think he's dead. So, you know, I'm just saying, hypothetically,
yes.
Shit like that.
Could
it's
happen.
Really, the mindset's exactly the same. You're just doing something shitty for no reason.
Yeah.
And thank God the statute of limitations on property stuff is, you know, and is long gone. But, you know, I just heard these stories.
Right.
God forbid I would have done any of those
Nothing
things.
Nothing stupid.
So, you know, that's why. That's all it is. Just effing around. You know, and there might be some sociopaths out there that do it because they're sociopaths. But I didn't get that vibe from her at all. She was just screwing around, you know.
Yeah.
And thought it was funny and didn't understand the consequences. You know, when I was in high school, I was a freshman in high school. And I had a lighter in my pocket. And I see somebody's coat sticking out of their... out of the locker, just a little edge of the coat. I pull out my lighter and just flick.
No.
Yes. I wasn't even thinking about it.
What a shithead.
Yeah. And then a teacher comes, what the hell are you doing? And brought me down to the principal's office. And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, well, you have to have a reason. It's like, no, I just saw it and I had a lighter and I just did it. It was no animosity toward that person. Nothing. Turned out it was the girlfriend of one of the gang guys.
Uh-oh.
I know. It was it wasn't smart. But when you're that age, you do things you're not thinking about what you're doing. Now, if my kid did that, they'd be in big ass trouble. It's like, hell? I would be the same way. What the hell were you thinking?
Oh, shit. If they did that in school today, now that'd be
terrorism or something.
Gone for a year.
And the whole time I'd be totally going, dude, I totally get it. You were doing something you weren't thinking. But you can't do shit like that.
I was just reading a little bit more on that. That Tylenol case, though.
Yeah, tell me about it.
It cost the Tylenol company over $50 million.
And
Johnson
that's
Johnson,
probably...
Back then.
Okay,
that's in 1982.
Okay, so $50 million in 1982... How much is that today? Let me see. Okay, that would be... What? No, this isn't right. Hang on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're doing it, but the $50 million, they had hundreds of copycatters after that.
Yeah, I remember.
And that's why
that
everything
too. It
became
was terrifying.
It was terrifying. It was like you're afraid to eat anything or drink anything.
Okay, $50 million... Okay, I've got $5 million. God bless it. What's the answer? $130 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're crazy. Hey, so the FBI never did figure out who did it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
they didn't catch anybody?
Nobody.
Of all the copycats?
Nobody.
None of it. See, that's why they had to do this, because it's too easy.
Yep. One of the most mysterious cold cases in U.S. history. They never could figure out who did the Tylenol poisoning in.
See, I thought they thought Ted Kaczynski did it.
Oh, really? Well, they certainly never proved it.
No.
Dr. Steve, that one bottle, five other people died from that bottle, including the young lady, her brother.
Yeah, and they all took Tylenol because they were crying and stuff, yep. And they said, give me a Tylenol.
Yep, and the postman.
The postman?
Yeah, he all from the same bottle, yep. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my goodness. Why did the postman?
Yeah.
Okay, so the FBI requested DNA samples from Ted Kaczynski in connection to the Tylenol murders. He denied ever having possessed potassium cyanide.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Wow. Mm-mm. Yeah. So I was going to tweet out, and I may by the time you get this. I opened up a thing. I bought this bottle of polish for my resin cabinet. What the fuck? I'm a bumbling idiot today, and I'll tell you why. I got very little sleep last night. Plus, I had to take my boards today.
Oh.
And just sit down, take your effing boards, and then try to do a radio show afterward. Nice. My brain is just
scrambled.
Totally scrambled. But, my countertops. It's like a polish for it. And it had a safety seal on it.
Yeah.
It's like, that has a safety seal on it, but my ice cream doesn't.
Makes no sense.
So ice cream manufacturers, totally fine.
Yeah.
We know shit's going to happen.
Yes, of course.
It's not your fault. Even the Listeria thing, we get it. Mm-hmm. We have the safest food supply in the world in this country, but even then, stuff's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But we do the best we can, but it would be very simple. Just put a safety seal around. Freezing it to the lid isn't sufficient, in my opinion.
No.
That's
agreed.
My opinion.
Agreed.
And, so anyway.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
All right. Let me run this one by you. This one was pretty stunning. Diet and supplements may not really protect the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we all often recommend dietary interventions like Mediterranean diet or salt intake and stuff like that, protecting heart health. I've been doing some of this myself, trying to be healthier with my diet. And this is from Medical News Today. Common knowledge has it that diet and lifestyle play an important role in supporting a person's physical health and overall well-being. Of course it does. Sure. We are what we eat.
Yep.
And this is why we advise our patients to modify their diets. In particular, dietary interventions can allegedly help individuals safeguard their cardiovascular health, preventing heart disease and strokes. Dietary guidelines for people in the United States advise that people adhere to healthful diets such as vegetarian diet or the Mediterranean diet. And we've talked on this show multiple times that they're not the be-all to end-all. If there was one diet, we would know it.
Mm-hmm.
And this study is kind of pointing us in that direction. That you can also mitigate risk with a ketogenic diet if it's done properly.
Yeah.
All of these things are, Dr. Scott's pescatarian, the benefits of being a vegan have been outlined in the past.
Sure.
And then lots of dietary supplements. So they did a meta-analysis. Isn't a perfect study. Mm-hmm. So a meta-analysis where you take a bunch of different studies and pool all the data, try to match similar types of data with other similar types just to increase the power of the study.
Okay.
These were from different collaborating institutions, including Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, West Virginia University, Mayo Clinic, et cetera. They analyzed the data for 277 randomized controlled trials, which are good trials, mm-hmm. involved almost a million participants. And they looked at the effects of 16 nutritional supplements and 8 dietary interventions on cardiovascular health and mortality. The supplements that they took into consideration, to count these while I do them, too, to make sure there's 16, because I want to see if there's anything missing. Selenium, general multivitamins, iron, folic acid, calcium, calcium plus vitamin D, which, by the way, they showed a negative association. In other words, that actually seemed to increase the risk of heart attack and stroke. Beta carotene, antioxidants. I don't know. I wish they'd be more specific. Omega-3 long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids. Oh, and then, okay, vitamins A, B complex, B3, B6, C, D, and E. So, yeah, it's 16. I do not see CoQ10 in here unless that was in their group of antioxidants. Mm. And then they looked at dietary interventions, modified dietary fat, reduced salt in people with normal and high blood pressure, reduced saturated fat, the Mediterranean diet, reduced dietary fat, higher intake of omega-6 polyunsaturated fatty acids, and higher intake of omega-3 alpha-linolenic acid. See, at least I can pronounce everything today. That's been my problem recently. It gets so tongue-tied.
You're doing well.
They did find some of these interventions had a positive effect. For instance, eating less salt may reduce the risk of premature death in people with a normal blood pressure. That's an interesting finding. So we're talking primary prevention, in other words, preventing the first event in people who are otherwise normal, although only with moderate certainty. Okay, so it's one of those, yeah, it looks pretty good, but maybe not. Moreover, they concluded that omega-3 long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acid, which you can get in a pill, protected against heart attack and coronary artery disease. And there was an association between folic acid intake and a slightly lower risk of stroke, but only with low certainty. Mm-hmm. That's fine with me. They got a million people. There was a little bit of a decrease. Hell, didn't going to chat my ass to take a folic acid with an omega-3. Let's bring it out tomorrow. Do you have the ability, Dr. Scott, to call your people who make your supplements and get us started on a folic acid with omega-3?
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we could do it.
Because that I couldn't find.
Yeah.
You can find folic acid, you can find omega-3 long chains separate. Mm. Why not have one and say, here, this is based on this study, you know?
Yeah.
It's not horse shit. Some of the stuff that's out there is horse shit, and I want to know what's really going to do something.
I agree.
At the same time, other supplements and interventions had no effect, or they were downright harmful. So the researchers found that taking multivitamins, selenium, vitamin A, B6, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, all that shit did not significantly protect against cardiovascular problems and early death. They also noted that following a Mediterranean diet, but this is very interesting, were not beneficial. Increasing the quantity of dietary omega-3 and omega-6 were not beneficial either.
Hmm.
So what do we do with this? We have other information that says the Mediterranean diet was helpful. So
yeah, sure.
What we need are for our little thing with the omega-6, or was it omega-3? The omega-3,
yep, yep.
And the folic acid. Now we need a double-blind placebo-controlled study, mm-hmm. that we need to follow people over a period of 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a hard study to do. Mm-hmm. That's why they do these meta-analyses, because it's hard to get people long-term enough to really show an effect.
Right.
But that would be something that would give you enough evidence to make it standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
People who took calcium and vitamin D supplements together actually had a higher risk of experiencing stroke, although only with moderate certainty. Now, who takes calcium with vitamin D?
People who are told to do it by their doctors.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They're osteoporotic.
There you go. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Give yourself a bill.
So these would be mostly women over a certain age, you know, usually in their 50s and above, that have gone through menopause or going through menopause, and they're told to take calcium plus vitamin D. This is not a reason to stop taking that. Your risk of breaking a hip, if this would be helpful for decreasing hip fractures, that's really what you care about.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't care if my bones were like marshmallows as long as I had something that could reduce my risk of a fracture, you know, through some other means. So, the mortality and morbidity of breaking a hip may be worse than the stroke risk of taking this stuff.
Right.
So that's an excellent question. Does taking calcium plus vitamin D reduce hip fracture? Why don't you look that up while I ask Alexa?
Sure.
Alexa, does calcium plus vitamin D reduce hip fracture? Let's ask her and see if she knows. Yeah, there you go. I'm going to take that as a no. We're taking 2 seconds to determine. Okay, here we go. Among healthy premenopausal women, calcium plus vitamin D resulted in a small but significant improvement in hip bone density, but did not significantly reduce hip fracture, and it increased the risk of kidney stones. Now we can say it also may increase stroke. So if you're on calcium plus vitamin D, it may be time to talk to your primary care provider why you're on that.
And I think a lot of times that answer is going to be because they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, it's old school.
It's old school. There's not been a lot of updated information.
So hard for me to stop taking aspirin.
Yep.
You know, that was shown not to really do much for primary prevention of heart attack and stroke. So, this is from the New England Journal of Medicine. It's been cited 1,077 times, has 37 references. This is from the Women's Health Initiative investigators from 2006. This is not some crappy just website. The New England Journal of Medicine was the first journal I ever heard of when I was training, and that's because it carries basically the weight of truth. Okay, so very interesting. So, if you're on that, worth asking, is there a compelling reason to continue taking it? And again, if you have any questions about this stuff, I'm happy to send you the articles that you can print out and take to your primary care. Go to drsteve.com and click contact. Now, you're shaking your head. What are you finding?
Well, no, I just was reading on down. I was not the same page you were on, but it was talking about invasive colorectal cancers developing in 168 women assigned to the calcium plus vitamin D supplementation. And 154 women assigned the placebo.
So what are they? What's their conclusion?
Well, it's good. It's saying there were no significant treatment interactions with baseline characteristics, which is a good thing.
So there wasn't there was not a statistically significant increase or decrease.
Yeah, thankfully. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, because there is aspirin can protect some people from
colon cancer.
Right. So.
And they show coffee might help protect from liver cancer.
Well, there you go. I mean, there's so much shit. How can we synthesize all this to give people just one thing to do?
You can't.
It's just too much.
It's impossible.
You know, alcohol is good for this. It's bad for that. Well, you got to just, y'all.
So drink coffee-flavored beer.
It's just about mitigating risk. That's all you can do.
Yep.
And mitigating risk doesn't mean you're not going to die. You're going to die unless the singularity happens in our lifetime, or the rapture, I guess. But if you, check your stupid nuts for lumps, get some exercise, quit smoking. These are all the things that we talk about.
Get off your ass.
Yeah, get some exercise. And eat a decent diet. You're mitigating your risk to the ability that you can. That's really kind of what we can do. And then the rest of this are details that will affect a small percentage of people.
The outliers.
You know, you've got this bell curve, and you can move yourself a little farther along the bell curve. But when you get to the end of that bell curve, big changes are still just incremental decreases in your risk. Because at some point, you're going to get heart attack or you're going to get cancer. Those are the main two things that they take us out of this world. And then there's other weird things that can happen too. But those are the two biggies, some cardiovascular event or some malignant event. And we're working on that stuff. But even then, when we have a generalizable treatment for cancer, people are still going to die.
Right. Yeah. Just remember, my rule for living is we're here for a good time, not a long time.
There you go. And so, then my other rule for living is...
I love to masturbate.
Yeah.
I love
to I'll have to incorporate that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's take some voicemails.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right, I will not. Okay, where'd you go? Oh, shoot, okay. We've had some weird noises on this line, so I've...
Hey, Dr. Steve, it's Corey. Got a question for you for the podcast.
Oh, well, okay.
I've always sweated a lot in my life, like everywhere, like my head, my shoulders, my face, you know, hot, cold... summer, winter. I haven't been that big of a guy. I've kind of, you know, husky my whole life, but I've gained a lot of weight the last few years just driving all the time for work. Is there anything I could do to control that sweating? Love to hear an answer from you. Love the show. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, we talked a couple of episodes back about dingo dust. It's good for when you're sweating on your balls and stuff like that. You can buy it at Amazon. It's, you know, powdered antiperspirant. You can put it other places. I do know people that have, you know, used it on their forehead and stuff like that. Use these things as directed. I can't recommend that you use it in a way that's not directed, but so that's good for spot treatment. But when you sweat all over, that's another thing altogether. You can go to stuff.drsteve.com and just scroll down, and you can see things for if you have sweaty hands called palmar hyperhidrosis. There's an iontophoresis machine that you can stick your hands in, and it just passes a current through those sweat glands, it just shuts them down. And you may sweat somewhere else, but you won't have, you know, if you're on a job interview and you're just sopping wet and you shake somebody, you know, potential employer's hand, that's going to affect things. But again, if you're sweating all over, that's tough. So there are medications that you can take, but they're all prescription. One of them is a blood pressure medicine. It's an alpha blocker called Hytrin, and they've used it off-label for people with generalized hyperhidrosis. There's another one called glycopyrrolate, which is a peripherally acting anticholinergic medication. So what I like about it is it doesn't affect the central nervous system like Benadryl does. Benadryl makes you sleepy.
Sure.
If you take it every day, day in and day out, it may increase your risk of dementia.
And
if you
prostate issues.
And prostate stuff. It won't cause the prostate stuff, but if you have prostate issues, it can cause problems.
Right.
Yeah, and can increase things like restless legs and stuff like that. But glycopyrrolate doesn't do that. It affects the periphery. It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier. So it's a good one for that. And, you know, so, but you got to talk to somebody.
Yes.
A savvy primary care person can help you, or a dermatologist can help you.
Hey, may I interject?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because
do.
That, you know, that number one medication you mentioned was the alpha blocker. Those alpha blockers can tend to have a lot of side effects that are not
absolutely true.
Potentially good side effects. But, you know, find some, first of all, make sure you're medically clear and healthy. And then find somebody like me that's got a degree.
Find somebody like you, with
herbal
a man
medicine.
Bun?
Yeah, man bun and a fancy
7-foot-tall freak with a man bun. Yeah, find something like that.
Hey, but find somebody that practices oriental medicine that is actually an expert and herbal medicines, because in Chinese medicine, what we would do is we would diagnose this guy with one of two things. It's either an excess heat or a deficient yin, which is the air conditioning side of your body.
Okay.
And we would give you one of two.
That makes sense.
Yeah, seriously.
You either got too much heat or too little cooling.
It, very similar to the way we treat females with perimenopausal hot flashes.
Yeah,
very similar. Yeah, we'd give him something.
So what would you give him if you were... What, is it like Wang Chung or something like that?
Honestly, if he had too much, we call it yang. It's a yang fire, which just sounds like what he... It's much more typical in a male. We have so much more of the heat. I would give him something like... It's a Jiawei Xiaoyasan. It's an old Chinese formula just to cool the body and to drain...
What's actually in it?
One of the things...
I mean, you're Western enough.
Well, one of the things in it is actually oyster shells is one of the things. It's a mineral.
Huh.
Helps to drain. It's a cool, very cooling herb.
I would think oyster shells would just be calcium.
It is calcium, but it helps to drain.
There's other stuff in there too as well.
Yeah, it's there's a whole lot of different formulas that we could potentially give him, but that's what I would do. If he's otherwise healthy male, then I would give him something to drain that fire.
If he's a trucker, if he's ever driving through here, I'll pay for him to come see you. I want to try to see if Wang Chung or whatever this stuff is actually helps. What is it called again?
Got it. Jiawei Xiaoyosan.
Wow, Jiawei Xiaoyosan.
Hey, I have, on our Simply Herbals website, the Stress Less is a very similar formula.
Oh, here he goes.
No, this is the truth.
It's selling stuff.
I'm not selling. I'm just saying it's a very similar formula.
Yeah. Well, you're not very giving similar. It away.
No, I'm not giving anything away. Hey, knowledge, maybe.
There
but,
you go.
Yeah, but
okay, interesting.
Yeah. So, if he has any questions, he can email us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go to drsteve.com and click contact. If it's for Dr. Scott, I'll forward it to him. Yep. He'll always email you back. He's pretty good about that. All right. There you go. So, I don't know what this one is.
So, hey, can you guys mention and tell me what's the best type of HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin? There is no such thing as bioidentical HCG, so is it the same if it's compounded or if you buy it from just a regular pharmacy, not a compounding pharmacy? Sometimes doctors want to write it compounded.
I get it. Mm-hmm. So HCG is human chorionic gonadotropin. It's an analog of progestin. It's a hormone that supports the normal development of an egg and a woman's ovary. That's what it's for. It stimulates the release of the egg during ovulation, and you can use it to cause ovulation and to treat infertility in women, but you can also use it to increase sperm count in men. So the question is, what do you want to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to use it for weight loss, I got to be honest with you, those HCG diets, and I mean, I'm a medical director for a weight loss clinic, mm-hmm. and we've done some pretty extensive research on the HCG thing. What they were doing is putting people on a 600 calories a day diet and then giving them a shot of HCG. Well, you could just hand somebody, and look, I'm not saying anything about anybody's practice. Mm-hmm. Do whatever, you know. But, you know, if you just hand somebody this diet and say, go do it, you can only charge them once. But if you can get them to come back every week for a shot of HCG and mm-hmm. charge them for the shot in the office visit, it's a different thing. I'm not saying it was all financially motivated, because I think that some of those people were honest in their, you know, in their interpretation of some of the information that they were being given. So look, I don't ever want to, you know, it's whatever.
Yep.
But you need just go research it yourself. The HCG component has been studied and didn't seem, if you did it with the HCG or without, didn't seem to make much difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you put somebody on a 600-calorie diet, they're going to lose weight. Yeah. And if you don't do a diet like that, that's really a fasting diet. We used to fast people at 600 calories if they had diabetes, for example. We put them in the hospital, put them on a 600-calorie diet. And you got to make sure they're getting enough protein to make sure that they're not catabolizing or chewing up their muscle tissue. Because when you're doing that, you're doing damage.
Right.
What you want to do is you want to lose fat. It's not even weight. You want to lose fat. That's what people are trying to do. So you need to make sure you're burning fat and you're not burning muscle tissue, because that'll just make you weak. And if you burn enough muscle tissue, it can do damage.
Right.
So we would do this very carefully. Preserving protein. It was called protein sparing fasting. And we could get their blood sugars down and actually get their hemoglobin A1C back to normal. And a lot of those people would be, you know, not necessarily cured, but they would have a lasting effect by fasting them that way. That's an old school thing. We can't put people in the hospital to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So people took this, and I'm sure that's where the lineage for this HCG diet came from, because it's basically the same, you know, very similar diet. And but you're going to lose weight, and the HCG was touted as, well, it's going to make you not hungry. If you put somebody on a 600-calorie fasting diet, they're not going to be hungry, because their body thinks they're starving. They think that there's no food supply, because the body's blind to the outside world.
Sure.
All it knows is what you're putting in it, and when you're only putting in 600 calories, what the body is basically saying, and this is a teleological explanation, meaning that there's meaning where there is no meaning, but it's basically thinking, well, this, there's no food in the environment, or this person, surely to God, they'd be eating more than this. Mm-hmm. Why would anybody voluntarily eat 600 calories? Mm-hmm. So it starts, it's almost a mercy thing. It just goes, okay, I'm not going to make you as hungry. Mm-hmm. Because obviously there's no food around. That's just torturing. I'm not, it, the signal isn't being reciprocated.
Interesting.
So, yeah, when I'm sending the signal that you're hungry, you're not responding. So surely there must be no food in your environment, right. Or you wouldn't be eating like that.
Starving.
So people tend not to be very hungry when they're on that diet. Now, I'll get a bunch of email. Oh, HED does help. And, okay, just... show me, cite your sources when you do that, and I'll cite my sources, and my sources will be more academically rigorous. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so the question is, what do you want to do? If you want to increase your sperm count, you can do it. I wouldn't do it with over-the-counter, you know, HCG if you can get it somewhere. Just go to a fertility specialist, and they'll give you what you need.
Yeah, they can give you a shot. I mean, it'd be
they can do
anything.
There's so much. Yeah. There's so many things. They can just let them do it.
Yeah, agreed.
This is not a hormone I want people just fiddling around with. You know? Okay. All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I was listening to Weird Medicine Episode 1 on Riotcast.
Oh.
And you told a story about how Anthony Cumia was in the studio with Melinda when you did your first, you and John did the first show ever live in the studio up there on Saturday night. And you said, oh, it was a great feeling until 30 seconds after you left the studio, some shit went down.
Yep.
You didn't say what it was, and you said, maybe one day I will tell it.
Sure.
That was 364 episodes ago.
Yep.
I would like to know what happened.
Okay, I can tell you what happened. I've only got 5 minutes, so I don't know if I've got enough time. If I can't finish this today, we'll bring this up again. But leave me a note that we need to do this.
Episode one.
I remember when I was married to my previous wife, and she had two little kids, and I was raising them, and we were living in Vermont. And I remember one day they caught a moth, and they wanted to keep it. Well, moths, you know, they lay eggs and, you know, they get in your clothes and eat your clothes. And so I didn't want a moth in the house. So we talked to them and said, well, that moth has a mommy and daddy and it needs to, you know, fly and get back to its mommy and daddy. And, you know, you want it to be free and all this kind of stuff. And we kind of built this whole thing up and they were like, yeah. And they're four. So they're thinking, we're really going to do a good thing. So they're holding it in their hand, and we open up the door, and they're like, be free, moth, be free. And they let the moth go, and you know how moths kind of flutter around? It fluttered around, and the dog was right there just like that and just ate it. So they were like, yay, oh. Same thing with my kid. He caught a fish one day, and he didn't want anything to die. So if we fish, it's always catch and release, and the thing swallowed the hook.
Oh, shit.
And so I'm down in there trying to get this thing out, and it was a struggle, but I got it out, and we threw it back in.
Motion detected at the front door.
Okay, thank you, Alexa. We threw the thing in, and it's kind of laid on its side, and then it starts wiggling, and it starts righting itself, and we're like, come on, fish, and it gets just ready to take off, and we're like, yay, and then this seagull goes, and just grabs it, and flies off with it, and my kid was like, yay, oh, you know, it's the same thing. This was exactly the same thing.
Oh,
we finished the very first Weird Medicine October 12th, 2005, and we did 90 minutes. The phone lines were packed. We were having so much fun. And Anthony actually came up to us afterward and said, when the thing was over, and we bumped E-Rock. He was supposed to be our first guest, but we had so many calls, we had to bump him.
Oh, my God.
Anthony was there. I was nervous that he was there because I was sitting in his chair. And he came up after it and said, now, this is a guy, at the time, they were like radio gods to us, right? And there was Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony. And I was sitting in their chair doing a show, and I was so nervous because they decided they were going to stay. And he comes up and says, that was the best first show I've ever heard. And we were at 11.
Sure.
And we walk out of the studio, and there is Melinda yelling at this friend of mine that I had brought up there, screaming at him, calling him motherfucker. Are you motherfucker? Oh. What the fuck? And all this stuff. Well, it turns out, I didn't know any of this, that he was just a guy I was corresponding with. He was the guy that had opieandanthony.net, and apparently there had been a rift, and they were, you know, this was the beginning of sort of the Whack Pack chewing on itself, and we're fucking with them. Mm-hmm. And Anthony had, even on the air, had said, I'm going to sue these guys. Mm-hmm. Well, if I knew about it, it kind of flew over my head. I didn't think anything about it. You know, he was an actual friend. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she was like, did you tell him he could be up here? And I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, this motherfucker and all this stuff. And Melinda was... I really liked her. Mm-hmm. She, you didn't want to be on her bad side, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm saying anything out of school. I think she would agree with that. And she was right in his face, you know, doing, you know, this thing with the hands and all this stuff. And he was just backing up. And then there was this big giant guy, and I don't know who he was. I remember him. He had a beard, and he was just a big bearish dude. And he was like, dude, you ought to just get out of here. So he's backing up. The elevator's open, and I'm just like, well, I'll see you later. And just the elevator closed. Oh, and I'm like, I brought this guy here. I mean, he was my friend, but he's a motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I was like, and it was just like, I'm letting the moth go free. Yay. Oh. So we came out at a 10, an 11, and I was at a 2 at that point. Now, we quickly got over it.
Yes.
We quickly got over it and went out and partied, and I bought everybody drinks, and everything was fine. But, oh, my God, that was, you know, John and I were just looking at each other like, how could this turn around so fast?
It's the yin and the yang.
Yeah, I got another story like that, a different time that we did Weird Medicine, where the end of it was, to me, even worse, because that there was no destroying us, but this other one almost destroyed me. I almost quit doing radio, but we're out of time for that. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teff, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharski, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose early support of the show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time. Check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.